relying, assurance, firm belief, safety, boldness, courage, trusting without suspicion, having full belief, a dogmatical belief. That's what confidence is. And if there's anything that you ought to have today, it's confidence in Jesus Christ and in His Holy Bible. And sometimes you learn that confidence by faith, and sometimes you learn it by experience. But there's one thing you're going to need as a Christian. It's confidence in something. You live in a day and age where people don't have confidence in anything. And the Lord teaches us that we're to have confidence in Him. I can assure you that there's one person that'll never let you down and never lead you astray and never do anything that's to your detriment. You know the greatest thing that I like about God, I mean past the salvation and past the fact that I'm secure eternally and so on and so forth. You know the thing I like about Him the most is that everything He does for me, it's for my good. He doesn't do anything bad for me. He doeth all things well. I don't have any problem worshiping and serving a God like that. And I realize I get a little excited lately and I get a little carried away. But I tell you, you go through some things and all of a sudden you realize, boy, it sure is a blessing to be left around for a while to still be able to praise God and thank God for a few things and to kind of come out of your shell a little bit. And I don't care if anybody thinks I'm a nut. At least I'm a nut for Jesus for a change. Listen, man, I saw a prayer answer tonight. I walked in the door and here's Dale and Christy and Dalton sitting down here on the front row. I've been praying for that since they've been here. And I walked in and I said, there's an answer to prayer, man. Look at that. Man, glory to God. And then Dale said, well, preacher, truth is we're just watching out for the table down there. We don't want you messing it up no more. Get down there quicker to get it cleaned up. But that's a blessing right there. Christy said, well, preacher, you get way back there in the back and I noticed what you said is true. You get all these distractions going on in front of you and you can't pay attention. A little boy said the other day, he asked his friend, he said, what do you do when the preacher starts coming at you? And he said, don't worry about it. The preacher don't see you. He sees through you. He said, he don't even see you when he's there. He said, yeah, but what if he steps on me, you know? You have to worry about him stepping on you, but he might spit on you, you know? What? You know, he might spit on you. And Proverbs chapter number 3 is a great passage in the Bible here. It gives you a number of things here. I just want to read a few of these things because I want to cover a few of these things. Let's just start, if you will, in verse 23. Then shalt thou walk in the way of safety, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. That's a blessing, especially you get older, man. If you sleep through the whole night or you only have to wake up once or twice, boy, that's worth something. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. You did that this morning with the missionary. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Don't procrastinate. Do it now. Go ahead and take care of it now. You say, why? You don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. And so what you do is when God gives it to you and He says, I tell you what, since you've got it in your pocket, go ahead and dump it now and I'll take care of the rest later. You know what you do? You go ahead and take care of it. If it's in your power to do it while you have the chance to do it. Got a letter this morning, my wife did. I preached a meeting it's been a year or so ago. I guess a little longer than that, maybe 2 years ago. And this fellow sat down and he wrote a letter. And it was right after Brother Jim died, so it can't have been more than a year. And he said, Brother Peacock, some things that I realized is that I thought this about Brother Jim, and I thought that about Brother Jim, and Brother Jim did this for me, and Brother Jim did that for me. And he said, I never had the opportunity to tell him while I had the chance to tell him, and now he's gone. And then he went on to pen some things in a letter about some things that he said about me. But this point is this, you better take care of something while God has you got a chance to do it, because you don't know if you'll have a chance to do it tomorrow. In other words, if God speaks to your heart, do it right then. Don't wait. God tells you to go to the altar, go right then. Don't wait. God tells you to give, give right then. God tells you to take care of something or somebody, do it right then. Don't worry about tomorrow. Have confidence that God knows what He's doing when He's telling you to do it. And go ahead and act upon it. Brother Larry, you pray. Ask God to bless this message tonight, if you would, please. Amen. Look at Psalms 118. Psalms 118. Now, you can have confidence in some people, but only to a certain point. At some point in time, you can't pour out your innermost soul or your innermost heart to people, because what happens is when you do that, sooner or later that thing will turn around on you and you feel like you're going to get betrayed because they know some things about you that maybe they ought not know. But you can pour out your innermost heart to God, and God will never betray you, and God will never let you down. God will always listen to you and know everything that He knows about you, but He'll still love you. And that's a great thing about God. You can have confidence that He'll never leave you and never forsake you, even when you confess the things that you're confessing to God Almighty. It's a tremendous blessing to know that when God tells me to come and to tell Him, that when I confess to Him those things, I have confidence to know that He's going to forgive me. And if He does choose to chasten me, it'll be for my own good, but He won't chasten me in His anger. He'll still know when to quit chastening me, and I'll have confidence to know He won't overdo it. Man's not that way. A man has a tendency, when he gets a chance to get one up on you, he's going to get his chance to get one up on you. Psalms 118, verse number 8, please. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Verse 9, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. He says in Proverbs 25, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. God tells you, you can put confidence in me, but listen, even if the guy is a prince over a nation, you're better to trust in the Lord than to trust in a prince over a nation. You can have confidence tonight in God Almighty. God's not going to let you down. The government might. Now, some of you heard some things this morning, probably made you a little bit uncomfortable. You say, well, that preacher, you know, he's up here talking about doing things and the government's not blessing it. Well, Peter doesn't get blessed either when he says over there he's going to preach the name of Jesus. And guess what? They say, you stop preaching the name of Jesus. And Peter says, I'll not do it. You say, well, you got to obey God. No, preacher, you got to obey the government. Not over God, you don't. The Bible says we ought to obey God rather than man. But you got to Amen. But God says this. Now, this reminds me of the time we was up there in the Philippines in Baguio City, and it was dark outside, man, and the lights went out like that, and Brother Jim chasing me all over the creation with a flashlight. He says, well, you couldn't preach without notes anyway. I said, I wasn't preaching with notes anyway. He goes, oh, yeah, sure you were. And he turned them things on. I don't know what that was. Another blessing. Reset the equipment, man. All right, now, listen. The Bible says that you can have confidence, but you have confidence in God. You say, well, preacher, you always teach us to obey the government. Yeah, but if the government comes in here and tells me to quit preaching Jesus, you think I'm going to quit preaching Jesus? But you know what you better do? You better realize that if you preach Jesus and the government tells you not to, that you better be willing to go to jail for it, maybe lose your life for it. You know why Paul lost his life? He wouldn't quit preaching Jesus. There are certain areas you submit to the government, but there are certain areas you don't. The separation between the government and God is there in the Bible. That's Uzziah, the king that we preached to you this morning. And listen, there's supposed to be separation of church and state. The government doesn't come into the church and tell you what to do. That's what they did in Germany when Hitler came in and says, I'll let you preach, but you only preach what I tell you to preach. And they lined up and they got their religion propaganda minister and they had to run all their sermons by him before he could get up there to preach. And if he gave his stamp of approval, he could preach to his congregation and keep his church. And one by one, those guys lined up and said, I will not come to you and ask you what I should preach. I will preach what God says for me to preach, and if it means that I go to jail or get shot, then so be it. And they did. And so guess what? If he goes out there and he does that stuff, he's got the license from the government here, he's got the license from the government there, and if they get caught, you know what he's willing to do? Go to jail for it. You say, why? God's called him to do that. But you got to be careful to make sure that you don't use it like this one fella did up there in northeastern Georgia. He told me one time, he says, well, preacher, he says, God don't have no intention for us paying taxes. I said, you're a fool. I said, only a Roman Catholic priest don't pay taxes. I said, you don't go down there and file Social Security, say that you don't have to turn in for Social Security tax and that kind of stuff. I said, you pay taxes just like your people pay taxes. I said, just because you're so-called clergy, that is no difference between clergy and laity, except the fact that you're the pastor over a local church, but you're subject to the same laws that they're subject to. He says, oh no, man. He says, we have an opt-out. We send in a letter and we tell them that we're clergy and therefore we expect to get a break and we don't have to pay our taxes. I said, well, you can help yourself if that's what you want to do, but I believe God would want for us to pay taxes. Amen. If you didn't know it, they file with the priest file, so they don't have to go ahead and give their taxes. They send all their money to Rome. Just do a little study. It's in there. You always get nervous. You people have been trained. You don't talk about people, preacher. I tell a blonde joke, and you get all like, you won't laugh. You know, you're afraid that whoever's blonde is going to be upset. Well, don't worry about it. You're not telling the story. I am. You don't need to learn to relax a little bit. Psalms tells you that you can put your confidence in God. You can put your trust in God. Listen, I believe, I really do with all of my heart, I believe that I happen to be suspicious of people. I came by it honestly. But you know what? I find out sooner or later I stop looking at people and I start looking at myself. And when I start looking at myself, I get suspicious of myself. You know why I get suspicious of myself? I get suspicious of myself because every time that I do right, my flesh gets on to me. And when I do wrong, my flesh compliments me. My flesh says, oh, attaboy, that was good, man. Oh, it's okay. And it begins to justify all this junk, man. I mean, no, I do something that ain't right, and I know it ain't right in my spirit. And the flesh goes, oh, attaboy, that's good. You know, hey, everybody does. Got to have a little time to yourself. I mean, you know, listen, I mean, man, it immediately begins to jump in there, and it begins to justify things that are contrary to God, contrary to the Spirit. I can't even trust this cotton-picking tabernacle I'm in. That irritates the stew out of me. Romans 8 is one of my favorite passages in the Bible where he says, we groan, having a desire to be clothed with that temple from above. I want a new body. Sick and tired of this body and the engine that runs it. Makes me puke, man. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? You've got confidence in God. Know what He can do in all things, big and small. God can take care of you. Without having confidence in something that is greater than you, you will not last long in this thing called Christianity. You've got to learn that your faith is in God, but your confidence is in Him also. Somebody will say something, do something that upsets your apple cart. Crank your engine, step on your eggshells, turn over your little red wagon, and next thing you know what'll happen, you'll quit on God. Well, I'm done with God, preacher. Listen, man, I can testify the things God's done for me and the things that God will do for you based upon my experience, but more than that, based upon what the Bible says. You know what I like about it is He does it individually. Each one of us is different. We're as different as snowflakes. Every one of us has our own idiosyncrasies. Every one of us has our own weirdness. Every one of us has our own ways about us and things that we do that don't match up with what everybody else does. But no matter what, God knows exactly what it is in each one of us that makes us tick. And God knows all of those things. And yet He says, if you'll put your faith and trust in Me and put your confidence in Me, I can get you in and out of any mess that you need to get in or out of. If you hadn't got that confidence tonight, I'm telling you, you've got confidence in something. And sometimes in this day and age, your confidence is misplaced. You put confidence in your bank account, confidence in your mortgage, confidence in your car, confidence in your family, confidence in your job, confidence in everything except where it ought to be in God Almighty. This balloon of earth is going to blow up one day. The economy is going to come crashing down like a giant boulder out of a volcano. And when it does, if your confidence is in things, you're going to be in a world of hurt. I always find that those that have the most to lose. And when it comes time to go to war, or a hurricane's a-coming, it takes longer to batten down the hatches. They say, I'm going to stay and ride it out. Why? That's why we got insurance. Notice, if you will, please, Philippians chapter number 1. The Bible's full of things. The old preacher used to say it's replete with things that give us examples of what we can have confidence in the Lord about. Let's just look at a few of them here tonight. Philippians chapter number 1. And verse number 6, I like Sunday night church. I like seeing a house full here tonight. What a blessing it is to see the pews filled up on a Sunday night. You know what it is? A testify of who you love. Philippians chapter 1, you know these passages. Verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. People ask me all the time, it seems to be one of the most common questions asked. A preacher, do you believe once saved, always saved? You better believe it. You say, why? Because the Bible says, He which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it. So, well, that's the perseverance of the saying. No, that's an all persevering God is what that is. Nothing to do with whether I persevere or don't. He's already persevered for me. The Bible says He's going to finish the work. He's going to complete the job. He started it and He's going to finish it one way or the other. Sick and tired of these people who say, well, preacher, if you just hang on, if you just endure, hey, I can't endure 24 hours. I got done this morning and I told one of the brothers, I said, I felt like a flop. He said, oh, preacher, that was good. I said, man, I was hoping it'd be a blessing. Didn't seem to be a blessing. I was about ready to hang it up and quit until about 5:45 tonight, and all of a sudden somebody jumped in the engine and fired it off. That thing started running and that horse started ticking, and I began to think, thank God I get another shot at it. I can get up and preach again. I can make up for a late egg. I get to go at her one more time. Thank God He's going to finish the work. Hallelujah! He's not done with me yet. In spite of making a mess, He can make a message. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice what He says in Romans chapter 8. Once you're saved, nothing will separate you from God. Ask you this question. If something could separate you, what would it be? And if you were separated, what would it take to get you unseparated? That must mean you're holding on to it. No! 1,000 times no! You ain't holding squat! He's holding all of it. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it. What are you trying to tell me, preacher? Have confidence in that. Every time you mess up, realize God ain't done yet. God will take the mistakes you made, the messes you made, the sin you committed, and boil it all up and make it work together for good. You can't beat a deal like that. Hallelujah, man. If you were as big a sinner as I'm a sinner and realize that God can even take those things and use them to break your heart and help you to have compassion on other people, help you to learn to love others, hey, you can realize even God can take the worst of things and make the best of things out of them. Boy, look into the mirror of your own life and see how many times God has stepped in by His mercy and His grace and His long suffering and giving you another chance. I like this passage in Romans chapter 8. Notice what he says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, verse 35, or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, nor powers, things present or things to come, height or depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us. Thank God I got confidence that He that began it in me is going to complete it. Hallelujah! That ought to make a wooden Indian shout, amen. Good night, man. I mean, you realize that once you get in Him, you can't be separated from it. Whew, have mercy. That makes me want to shout as if I'm out of breath, amen. Wow. Man, I get to looking at that thing. I get to thinking about that. That's only one of about 10 confidences I got tonight. I don't even know if I'll get to the next one. My goodness, man, I get to thinking to myself, God gets working on me. And He gets started with something. And He gets thinking, all right, now, you go this way and do this right here, and this is what I made you to do. And you start moving in that direction, and then you decide to kind of go over here and pick the daisies and pick the tulips and the Johnny Jump Ups, and the next thing you know, you done made this huge, gosh, awful mess. And if God was a human being, He'd say, you're fired. Get out. I'm done with you. My Lord, man, I mean, after I saved you with the blood of Jesus Christ, I thought you'd be worth more than that. Like buying a racehorse, and he gets out in his first race and comes in dead last. He's still sitting in the gate when the race is done. The Lord says, well, I ain't done with you yet. I'd be ready to quit. You ever been depressed? So, oh, preacher, we don't get depressed. We are Christians. Well, you're not very much of a Christian. Even Paul got depressed and distressed. Amen. Depressed and distressed. You ever get that way? Man, sometimes I get so low I can crawl underneath the threshold in the back door of the church building. I mean, I get out low. Lose my confidence in everything and how bad I messed up. God says, I ain't done with you yet, boy. Get up. Lord, I don't deserve it. Oh, quit your whining. Lord, I done messed up. They done took AI. Lord, they done killed all them people. God, oh God, what a mess I made. Shut up, you crying, and get up, boy. Dust off your knees and get the tears off of your face and get up. I ain't done with you yet. Thank God if you messed up tonight, He ain't done yet. Boy, that'd be a good place if I was charismatic to say, lean over and touch somebody and say, he ain't done yet. Man, can you imagine if somebody did that in this church? You'd be like, man, get your hands off of me. Touch somebody and say, Jesus. No, my name ain't Ernest Lazy. Get your hands off of me. Amen. Lean over and touch somebody and say, he ain't done yet. And the fools do it. He ain't done yet. Lord, help us. But it don't take away from the fact that once you get saved, He started a work in you and He's going to finish it. That's a blessing. The blessing you was blowing the horn for about 5 hours yesterday. You say, how'd you know that? I heard you all the way up, plumb up here in Jacksonville, sitting on the backboards blowing, playing hymns. You say, how'd you know that? Holy Spirit told me. Notice what He says. Hold out in my water. Oh, okay. I told my wife, I said, I like when you're preaching and you forget where you're at and who you're with and everything goes out the window. She said, honey, might be good sometimes you don't forget where you're at. Secondly, I want you to see this in Jude 24, way back by the book of Revelation. I'm confident that He's able to keep me faultless before the throne. When it comes to my sin, thank God I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God when I appear up there, I got His righteousness and not my own. Thank God He's able to preserve me. Jude 24. Now unto Him that be Jesus, that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He can keep you from falling. You ain't going to fall from grace. You might fall down and skin your knees a time or two, but listen to me. He ain't done with you yet. He'll continue. Notice Philippians chapter 1. Let's look at something else. Philippians chapter number 1. The Bible says this in verse 25. Now this might be presuming just a little bit. But I'm going to presume because I'm confident that God has a reason for me to be here and I'm exactly where God wants me to be and I'm going to be here until the day I either die or He blows the horn. You You say, oh, now, preacher, now, hold on just a minute. No, sir, man, I done got sand spurs and kookaburras between my toes. I'm locked down to Bible Believers Baptist Church right here at 3857 Hartley Road. I'm confident unless God kills me, I'll be here till the day the rapture comes. Said, give me some Scripture. I am so glad you asked. Verse number, chapter number 1, verse number 24, 23. I am straight betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. I would like to be, which is far better. Nevertheless, to be up to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of joy and faith. Say, preacher, you're getting kind of popped up, puffed up there. No, I'm just sure that God's put me in a particular place for a particular reason. And I don't think He's got any plans to move me anytime soon. No, preacher told me one time, he says, hey man, he says, what's them railroad spikes in your furniture? I said, my furniture is nailed down to the floor. You see, it's a whole lot easier for them to move their membership than for me to move my furniture. Cost me 32 cents for them to send a letter and say they moved to such and such a church and we hereby grant that letter to them. But listen, you have to come in there with a stinking crowbar to get the furniture pried off of the floor. You say, why? Because I'm confident that the Lord would have me to stay in this place. Go home with you. I'd appreciate it if you'd let me. I hope to God He'll keep me around for a little while. I'm confident. You know what? That makes some people sad. My daddy had a file cabinet, deep as this pulpit is, wide, with resumes from people looking for somewhere else to go. I ain't looking. I'm planted. Stuck down here! So, preacher, we might have something to say about that. Well, okay. If God's done with me, then go ahead and say what you'd have to say. But until God's done with me, I'm confident this is where God would have me to be. Look at 1 John chapter 5. You realize what a blessing it is to just know at least that much of it, you're in the will of God? I mean, really, man, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And God's not done with us here yet. God's not finished yet. It's just now kind of getting stirred up around here. Just now starting to breathe. Just now starting to see the head bone and the neck bone connected together. All of a sudden that's beginning to move and not look like a skeleton or stump Baptist church anymore. All of a sudden it's got some life in it. It's got some spizzeretum running through it. It's got the Holy Spirit of God in it. He's about ready to do something here. Man, if He don't, it ain't for a lack of trying. Amen. I feel like God's just dumped out a whole sinking bucket of honey on me. I've been saying, God, I need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Now I'm starting to say, Lord God, I don't know how much more I can stand. I mean, when you got them coming, one right after another, after another, after another, you can't keep all of it straight in your head. Somebody must be praying. Thank God for that. I'm confident of this. 1 John 5. That God hears our prayers according to His will. If we know He'll hear us whatsoever we ask, He'll grant us the petitions that we desire in our heart. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I am positive that God still answers prayer. I'm positive that God is not done with using a man to intercede for another man, to get a hold of God, to grab a hold of the horns of the altar and beg God to do something. I'm amazed at what God does through prayer. It's an amazing thing to me, the power that's in prayer and so little time spent in it. But God says you can have confidence that if you pray according to His will, He hears you. You think about how He hears you. Do you realize what it costs for Him to hear you? It costs the blood of Jesus Christ for you to even be able to get into His presence, for Him to open up His hearing aid and be able to hear you. You realize what's being said in that little statement, that we have confidence to know that He hears us. Hey, you're bypassing Calvary to get into the throne of God. You're going through the blood of Jesus Christ to enter in boldly to the throne room. I'd hate to be around here and not be able to pray. My God, there is nothing next to a King James Bible more powerful than prayer. To be able to talk to my Savior. To be able to talk to the Creator of the universe. For Him to give me a holy Bible that shows me what His will is and get my will lined up with His and say, "Oh God, this is what we desire." And the King of the universe says, "Grant it." Just as Esther came into the king's court, and the king extended that scepter and said, "Come on in." You come up there and knock on the throne room door. The blood of Jesus Christ makes a way for you to come in and talk to the Creator of the universe and make your request known unto Him. Now wait a minute. He'll not hear you if you regard iniquity in your heart. But did you realize, and if you ask Him to forgive you, He'll forgive you. You can apply the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all your sin and go right back into the Father and say, "Lord, I need to talk to You about something." And the Lord will say, "Well, come on in." Say, "Well, don't you have to spend some time outside and time out?" No, not once you get right. Once you get right, you get in. So important for you to understand. It's important for you to keep short accounts with God Almighty. Say, "Why, you never know when you might need to get in." My God, the way people drive in Jacksonville, Florida, you might need it on the way home, amen. I mean, you not to be the horror, "Oh God." And if He says, "Yeah, Lord, about this car, about your sin. Oh yeah, Lord, about that. Yeah, well, now while you're running your mouth, you're going to go ahead and have a wreck." Say, "Why, Lord, why don't you deliver me from the wreck?" "Because I need to get to your wreck to have you get to your attention so you can get rid of your sin." Don't ever take for granted the privilege of prayer. While He'll hear a lost person cry out and pray the prayer of faith. But that's the extent of what He hears from a lost person. Ooh. We have a special privilege and a special promise. Confidence to know that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And I'm sitting here looking at Eric and Amy. And that little baby was on the way. I bet you there were some prayers going up then. "Lord, please don't let this baby be born with mental deficiencies. Lord, don't let this baby be born with deformities. Lord, don't let my wife die. Lord, don't let my husband faint when he's watching the baby coming out. Bust his head on the floor and be no more good." I bet there's been some prayers on the part of Nadine while James is overseas. Don't ever take for granted the privilege that we have in prayer. But don't ever forget you got confidence to know if you ask Him anything, He hears you. You know what He says in that Bible, brother? He says, listen, what father, if a boy come to him and ask him for bread, would give him a serpent? You know what He says? How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give you the desires of your heart, long as they're in line with His will? That's a great thing to know. A great thing to know when you're in a hospital room. Great thing to know when you're going through some trouble or some trials that, hey, nobody else may be listening, but God's hearing you. That's all that matters. Confidence to know that He's hearing me. And, you know, like my dad, he is praying there toward the end. And we all got to praying, seeking God. And of course, we was wanting God to heal him at first. And then it got bad enough. I'm like, God, stop prolonging it. Get him out of here. My dad says, you praying for me to be healed? I said, I am. He said, well, good. He said, maybe he'll heal me permanently and we can get out of here. Boy, what a way to go. What a way to go. Confidence. To know that he has begun a good work, going to finish it. Give him a new body. What do we have to do about prayer? You have to ask, you have to seek, you have to knock. It's amazing what God will do through prayer. He hears us when we call out. Now, prayer doesn't have to be eloquent, but it does have to be earnest. It doesn't have to have the definition of helplessness in it, but it needs to have a feeling of helplessness in it. Not just words of speech, but an earnestness of the soul. I've heard some people pray. One time I even called on a woman in a preaching service to pray. You say, why? I know she could get a hold of God. I walked up on the backside of a mountain one time. I went up there for just one reason. I wanted a rock put up there by that sawdust trail up there on the side of that mountain on Irish Potato Road. And I wanted that old woman praying for me. We got up there and got in that sawdust around all these rocks and all these preachers that they're praying for and all these church people they're praying for and all this stuff. And there's my freshly painted name, Adrena Lynn's name right there with it, pastor in Jacksonville, Florida. And there's that rock sitting there. And that old woman got down on her knees and she grabbed a hold of that rock. And I believe with the other hand, she grabbed a hold of Jesus. And that old woman in a high-pitched shrill, you could have heard her all across that North Carolina county as she cried out, oh God, bless this boy and protect his wife and bless his church. I believe the blessings of God have been on this church because of the prayers of the saints. Amen. My wife called last week. Brother Bobby answered the phone. He said, well, Sister Peacock, this is mighty funny that you call now. I just got through praying for Brother Dave. I just got through asking God to pour it on him this morning. What can I do for you? You realize what a blessing it is to know there's people that aren't even part of this church that are praying for the preaching in this place? It's amazing what God can do through prayer. I just wish we spent a little more time doing it. How much time do you spend praying? But you know what an encouragement it is? When somebody calls you up and they say to you, preacher, I'm praying for you. Now, praying without watching is hypocrisy. Watching without praying is presumptuous. The Bible says, watch and pray. You don't get yourself in a mess and then all of a sudden pray and ask the Lord to beam you up, Scotty, and take you out of the mess you made for yourself. You repent of the mess that you made and ask God to give you the grace to get through it, not deliver you from it. God's not like that. I'm confident God hears our prayers. You say, sometimes, preacher, I get all full up. I can't seem to get a prayer through. Can you get a tear through? The book of Psalms tells you the Lord keeps tears in a bottle. You say, why? They speak messages to Him. Many a broken heart of a mama has cried over a child and a wayward child. Many a grandma has prayed over a wayward child out running out there. They get so broken up and tore up over their loved ones, they just get down and they begin to weep. God can read every one of those tears that gets spilled on that floor and down your cheeks. Sometimes the sweetest prayers are silent, but they come from the heart. I'm confident God hears our prayers. Not done just yet. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I know you'll shout amen on this one. You say, how do you know? There are certain things you ought to shout on whether you feel like shouting or not. This is one of them. This is one of those, you know, that you kind of wish you still had the spizzarinkum in you going when it comes time to preach this part of the message. You hope that the tide comes rolling back in. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, Look, if you will, please, in verse number 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I'm confident that God will not let me burn in hell when I die. When I leave this world right here, I'm confident I can go home and be in glory with Jesus Christ. He said it, and I'm confident in it. That's a blessing to know that our last breath we breathe when we leave this earth, there is absolutely no doubt where I'll be. But I'll tell you, it even goes further than that. You ever stood over the grave of a loved one? You know, the greatest thing my dad did for me, he led me to the Lord. I appreciated that. And I stood over that old 6 foot or so box and stood up over that hole in the ground that goes down to that cement box and got ready to set over that lid on top of that thing. I looked down at that casket and I began to have confidence to know that because he had trusted Jesus Christ, he was in heaven and I'd see him again. Gave me comfort. I can't imagine what it'd have to be like to know that my daddy was lost and burning in hell. Confident when I stood over the deathbed of Brother Jim. Say, why? Because he was a preacher? No, because he was a Christian. Confident that whether I was there or not when he left this earth, that he wouldn't be burning in hell. He'd be alive forevermore. Confident. In what, preacher? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's a great confidence to have, especially in the day in which you live. And you go through some things sometimes. I'll be honest with you, you think about that stuff. Did you know that? It actually crosses your mind. What if? What if this is it? What if? You start thinking about it. And buddy, that's when those Scriptures in that Bible get more and more real to you. That's when they begin to really mean something to you. And that's when your confidence begins to grow. Because you realize, well, if this is it, at least I know I'm safe eternally. You may have some regrets as far as your physical life is concerned, but one thing I don't regret is trusting Jesus. I'm confident. Hard for a saint to die? No. Say why? Mr. Goodness and Mr. Mercy meet you right there and take you right into the portals of glory. Job chapter 18. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I'm not trying to hurry it along, but if it happens, some of you boys, you better stand up and testify. You better shed your tears at another time, for there should be great rejoicing over the homegoing of a saint. The tears that are shed have to be tears of joy. You say, why? Because for me to depart is far better. And the saint goes home to the Lord, they're in a whole lot better place than we are. Job chapter 18, I won't spend long on this, verse 14, but it has to be brought out. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring into the king of terrors. I'm confident that if you live in a sinful world, live a sinful life without Jesus Christ, I'm confident that God will punish the wicked. I'm confident that there's going to be judgment. There's life and there's death. There's good and there's evil. There's God, there's the devil. There's salvation, there's damnation. There's pardon and there's a judgment. There's no doubt about it, there's going to be a reckoning day for the lost. I'm confident of that. Just as much as I'm confident, ladies and gentlemen, that your punishment doesn't end with death. The punishment of God is an eternal punishment. Once you see the punishment meted out on those people who have rejected God, rejected the Savior, Jesus Christ. Once you see that punishment, you know what you'll be doing? You'll be shouting at their damnation because you'll realize just how close you came to being in the same position they were. You'll understand that but by God's grace, you'd be right where they're standing. You know what you'll be saying? Holy and righteous is thy judgment. You know what you'll be feeling on the inside? My God, it could have been me. Allow me just a moment to just simply bring to your mind, you can't take any credit whatsoever for being in the position you are today to love the Bible and to love preaching and to be a Christian. You trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and God's chose to light the way for you, and when you've walked in the way, you've gone the right way because God led you that way, not against your will. But God deserves to get the glory for that stuff, not you and me. You're here today as a testimony of God's grace. You can't run around and crow and say, I'm here because of who I am and what I am. You know all you can do? All you can do is point to Him. You get in eternity, and when you see punishment meted out, you know what you're going to say? You'll hear them say, Amen, glory to God the Father, after they bow the knee and bow their head and bend their knee and confess Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, and then they get cast off the end of that universe, and that soul begins to drop off that end of that universe and all the way down until they splash into the lake of fire, and they scream all the way down, and the whole time inside you'll be screaming, it could have been me. It could have been me. Oh my God, it could have been me. I'm confident that if it hadn't been for God, we would have all gotten punished. You say, why? Because we deserved it. See, not me, preacher. I'm a good little boy. You're a liar. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's wrath upon sin is too harsh and too heavy. You say, well, preacher, it's just a little sin. Well, if it's so little, why don't you quit it? If it's just a little sin, why don't you quit it? The truth is at any time when you get out of the will of God, it ain't just a little thing. There's several more things I have confidence in, but we're going to pull over and park there tonight. And I ask you this question. Your confidence been shaken a little lately because of adversity and tragedy in your life? Difficulty, trials, tribulation, sickness, disease, breakups, bad business problems. I don't make light of them. They're very real troubles. Worried about your prodigals. Worried about whether your kids are going to make it or not. My God, man, raising these today. Raising that right there on mama's lap. Oh, Lord God, help us. These little babies, you see how many babies we got? We got to go buy some baby beds this week and open up another wing of the nursery over here. Say, why? We got little babies. Preacher, I've kind of lost confidence. Don't lose your confidence in God. God will see you through. Preacher won't always see you through. People won't always see you through. God will always see you through. You can have confidence in Him when everything else fails. You know what? I could go to India right now and preach this message and it would fly. You say, why? Because I'm teaching them to have confidence in something beside the economy. Something beside the president of their company. I can assure you I could go preach this message in Romania or the Philippines or in Africa or in any other country. You know why? Because I'm teaching them to have confidence in Jesus Christ, not have confidence in the missionary, not have confidence in the preacher, not have confidence in the mission board or the sending church or anybody else, but to have confidence in Jesus. You say, why? The mission board may fold up. I've seen it happen. The church may get so choked off financially it's doing all it can to keep the lights on, the air conditioning running. But if you teach people to have confidence in an almighty God, you can never go wrong. Parents, Teach him to have confidence in God first before confidence in you. You say, why? You might lose your mind raising them. Amen. They might put you in the nut house. Then where would they be? Teach them to have confidence in the Holy Bible. I guess I better clarify that. Nowadays, they got all kind of perversions called holy, and they ain't holy. I'm talking about a King James Bible. If you don't, you know what will happen? You'll have them in bondage to you the rest of their life, and it'll break their back. Teach them to have their own relationship with something they can have real confidence in. Teach them how to go to God. Teach them how to pray. And practice what they hear preached. Develop their own relationship with something that I can promise you will never fail them. Money will fail. God won't fail. Spirit will fail. God won't fail. Strength will fail. God won't fail. Parents will fail. God won't fail. Teachers will fail. God won't fail. Presidents of countries will fail. God won't fail. Teach your children to put their confidence in a holy God. You'll never go wrong. If you can trust Him with your soul, you can trust Him with your youngins. And if He can keep your soul, He can do something else with your pocketbook. What's your confidence in tonight? You know what I learned? Miss Patsy, come on up and get ready to play. We'll have a little brief invitation here tonight. You know what I learned? I learned that sometimes you get sort of strong and you kind of feel like you're going to go on forever, you know. Kind of like a bull in the china closet.
Strong like a bull!
Go in and see a doctor and he says, you ain't as strong on the inside as you think you are on the outside. And all of a sudden, in a matter of just a few months, buddy, that strength ebbs out of your system and out of your body, and boy, all of a sudden you're thinking, I can't even get out of bed. I'm still a young man. God says, where's your confidence now, boy? Lord, I got some friends going to look out for me and help me. Let's see your friends get you up out of this bed, boy. They may love you, but they can't get you out of the bed. While they may come pray over you, and they might even be weeping over you and having a prayer meeting in your name. But they can't get you out of the bed, boy. Tears begin to run down your cheek and soak that pillow soft and wet as you lay there in weakness. And all of a sudden you realize your confidence has been misplaced. And you begin to say, all right, Lord, confidence in You. My confidence is in You. Lord, if You don't get me up, it's all right with me. God, You know what's best for me. And you start claiming the verses, for we know all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to His purpose. And I lay there and I begin to weep and cry and say, oh God, forgive me for thinking I'd go till I was 70. Thank You for showing me my weakness. Thank You for teaching me to lean on the everlasting arm instead of the arm of flesh.
Amen.
Thank You for teaching me to trust You instead of trusting myself and others. Oh boy. Let me tell you, when you get there, believe it or not, it's a time of weakness you can't really describe unless you've been through it. But it's a time of peace like nothing you can even imagine. I mean, it's like God crawls right up there inside you and He says, how are you doing today? Lord, I don't know. My body don't feel so good, but my heart feels real good, man. I feel like I could run a race. There's times where you get to thinking he's fixing to step in there and say, well, you're kind of getting close to my house. Why don't you come on to my house tonight? And you get to the point where you say, well, okay. Say goodbye. No, don't worry about saying goodbye. Let's just go. Yeah, Lord, I guess I can say hello to them rather than say goodbye. The greatest thing God can ever do is bring you to an end of yourself. And to realize without God's hand upon you, you ain't going to make the journey. It's too long. Journey's too great. It's too hard. The hand of the Lord has to be upon you, and your confidence has to be in Him.
Amen.
I wouldn't give anything for it. You say, why? You learn to lean upon the right arm. The arm of strength that'll never fail you. Where's your confidence tonight? Listen, if it's anywhere but Jesus, I like to invite you to just be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I've been trusting my business and my finances and my wife and my kids and my car and all this. Lord, I'd just like to learn to trust You. Much easier than have Him take everything away from you than say, now, how do you like that? Do you want to learn to trust Me now? It's easier just to say, Lord, I want to learn it now. As Miss Pat plays, would you bow your heads and ask the Lord, if your confidence is in anything but Him, I'd invite you to just come down here to the altar for just a minute. Maybe it's in your works. Maybe it's in your knowledge. I don't know what it's in, but I'm going to ask you, would you just come down and say, Lord, I want to have my confidence in Thee, in Your Word. Won't you come tonight? Won't you come?